He's not dead. He's alive. He was a man who gave himself, who died, but we saw him. We are eyewitnesses of the fact that he's not dead, he is alive. We sang that song this morning, old song for us, Such a God. How could the mind of man have planned such a God? That is so far out there as to be absolutely preposterous if it's not true. And yet, in Christianity, those people who were, quote, around church, those people especially who grew up with it, almost don't think about it. It's like, well, of course. And what we've been doing this morning is to get you to think about the magnitude of who this man is, of what he taught, and what it means to you. One of the other things that I was looking at, talked about Christianity, is that unfortunately, for especially in the Western world, unfortunately, Christianity is a religion claimed by people who simply don't identify with any other religion, right? Not necessarily because they have had the experience of encountering the purposeful good will of God, Ephesians 3, that exceeds physical limits or human knowledge, so that into them has been filled all of the all of the fullness. And remember what we talked about a few weeks back, what that meant to the early church. The totality of divine powers, that you've been filled with the Spirit of God who is one with God, so therefore God is in you in the same way that Jesus said God was in him, because he said, Father, I in you and you in me, that they may be, I'm in them and you're in me, that they may be one with us. So into you has been filled all of these divine powers. How many Christians really think about those kinds of things? How many, you know, without faith it's impossible to please him, and without faith you won't really get anywhere, and without coming to know the truth you won't be a part of the truth. So if you don't let him show you these things, how do you ever expect to get there? And, you know, thank God that you've received the truth enough to, quote, receive that salvation, that rescuing, that life of God. But that's only the beginning. That's just the first step. And as I say so often, there's always more to know. I had a thing the other day I thought about. Let's say you have to know 10 things, what does it say, perfectly, okay? There's 10 things you got to know perfectly, and you know all 10 of them perfectly, right? So you're good, right? Okay? You walk around the corner and find out, wait a minute, there's not 10, there's 50. You know 10 perfectly, but now you find out that there's 40 more things you need to know. That's the life that we live as Christians. The idea of salvation, of coming to know him, of experiencing his love in that moment where we are, quote, born of the Spirit, we're born again. That's not the end. That's the beginning of the road that leads to the reality that provides the vitality of what Jesus was talking about that evening, that night, that we just read from the 14th chapter of John. Then, not only do Christians believe, found their faith, the faith, on the idea that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, was the Son of God, the living God, that he gave himself for us. And the Eastern religions understand much better that sacrifice for sin and covenant. And that he rose from the dead with eyewitnesses to testify to it. And that we can experience him, his love, his purposeful goodwill, that we can be transformed, and even past that, that God in Messiah, in Christ Jesus, provides for us all, say all that we need. And yet that's exactly what Paul wrote in the 8th chapter of Romans, 32nd verse. He who spared not his own son, will he not freely give to us all things? Some translation put that in the question, some of it put in the statement. He has given his son, will he not freely give to us all things? He's already given the very best of what's ever been. What would he withhold? And isn't that exactly what we looked at in 2 Peter, was it last week, before last? 2 Peter 1:3. That we've been made partakers of the divine nature, that his divine power has given to us all things, pros, engaged with, interfacing with, life, Zoe, life, and Yusabaya, not just godliness, the idea of that good inward response to God, so that our lives are connected with him. We respond to him. He responds to us, so much so that, like we talked about again last week, Jesus said, up to now, you've asked me nothing. Ask in my name. Ask and lay hold to it that your joy may be fulfilled. When we preach the whole thing, when we walk down through the steps, what we profess to believe is absolutely ludicrous if it's not true. Our job is the same thing as what Jesus said. I came into the world to produce evidence of reality. Our lives in him should be producing evidence of this reality that we've come to know. Hallelujah. Y'all go ahead and stand up. Father, I thank you so much this morning for your word. I thank you that every time we come together, you are faithful to give us wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of you. I receive it. Thank you for it. Amen.